It's the 20th, it's the first of May, 1991. I'd like the meeting of the special committee, special house special committee on the Exxon Valdez oil spill claim settlement to please come to order. I'd like the record to reflect that we have a quorum of the committee. We have Representative DeVar, Representative Hudson, Representative Barnes, Representative Gail Phillips, Representative Ulmer, Representative Donnelly, and myself, Representative Bloomberg. We have with us Attorney General Cole. And I would like Attorney General Cole to welcome him to the committee and to ask Attorney General Cole to please describe what happened since last we met when we talked with the, he received our committee proposal, and since then he has gathered a telephone conversation. Mr. Cole.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I participated this morning in a conference telephone call with representatives of the Department of Justice and Exxon, during which I requested an extension of time on behalf of the state in order to review or enable the legislature to vote on whether to approve the settlement. Able to obtain commitments for an extension of time in response to my request for at least a week to enable the parties to sort out where each is in light of recent developments in the courts. I remain hopeful, however, that by tomorrow afternoon the other two parties will agree to an extension of time. That is where that matter now lies.
Mr. Chair, would you please continue with to tell the rest of the so far as they concern this committee's proposal?
Well, this committee's proposal that I was furnished with yesterday.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Cole?
Did somebody address the chairman?
We have placed a particular, as a committee, placed a particular classification on that information, and I believe as a committee we ought to remove that if we're going to reveal it.
Well, at the appropriate time, I'm without revealing the content at this point, I would like the Attorney General to tell us whether he presented that proposal.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barnes.
I would not like it called a proposal because the committee did not vote. I would like it to call discussion points.
Fine.
It was not a proposal that we voted on.
Let's call it a consensus.
We will call it whatever we call it. I'm wondering what happened to that, whether that was presented to the parties.
I am very pleased to furnish you with the detailed answer to that question. At 3 a.m. this morning, I awakened and began thinking about the document handed to me yesterday, consisting of two typewritten pages entitled Proposal. And I thought about it for 1 hour and 22 minutes. And at 4:22 this morning, I decided that it would be inappropriate for me to send that document to both the United States Department of Justice and to Exxon. You will recall that yesterday afternoon when I was handed the document, we discussed my sending it to both the Department of Justice and to Exxon last evening. You will also recall, Mr. Chairman, that when we met in the lobby last evening, that you suggested to me that it not be sent last evening. And for that reason, I did not send it last evening. And as I watched the clock tick away, minute by minute, or those hours when I tossed and turned over what I should do about transmitting this document entitled proposal, I reached the following conclusions. First, it was my view that the very sending of that document to Exxon and to the Department of Justice might in itself cause Exxon or the Department of Justice, i.e. the United States, to withdraw. Once I reached that conclusion, I felt that it would not be appropriate, if I may continue to use that term, to place the legislature itself as an institutional body in a position where a committee of one legislative body acted to cause the settlement to be terminated. I thought that the entire House of Representatives should act with respect to the transmission of this proposal. And moreover, I felt that the Senate should have a voice in an act which was apt in itself to cause one or more of the other parties to withdraw. And therefore, I arrived at the conclusion that I should not send it. There was another reason which prompted my conclusion, and that was this. I recall so well, not so very long ago, when I was in Washington, D.C. with the governor negotiating this settlement agreement with Exxon and the Department of Justice and the federal trustees, that there was heavy criticism from the legislative body about conducting negotiations in secret. And I remember the press scoring me and the governor for conducting negotiations in secret. As I recall, I think there was considerable comment from the legislature about that. And I said to myself, well, here I am, acting in a sense as a runner for this legislative committee, carrying secret documents or proposals to both the Department of Justice and to Exxon. And I said, how inappropriate, I think. I, as Attorney General, member of the administration, do not want to be scored again for carrying on the very type of activity which had been so fulsomely criticized not so very long ago. Then I thought, too, that if this body wished to convey its document entitled proposal to to the Department of Justice, that it is certainly at liberty to transmit received the response. So, after I arrived at that conclusion, with that underlying reasoning, thought about it for a few minutes, and engaged in a restful sleep the remainder of the evening until 6:30 this morning.
Mr. Attorney General, let me ask you a few questions. And I think that, Representative Hudson, you're right, that we should consider a motion so that people can see what we're talking about. I happen to have copies in this envelope here, and I will accept a motion to make this public at this time. Representative DeMar?
Mr. Chairman, if I could just ask the Attorney General a question.
I have a few questions to ask.
This is just very brief.
You go right ahead.
I'm wondering, after all the thought that you put in after waking up at 2 or 3 in the morning, however did you find time to get back to sleep?
Well,
there couldn't have been much time left between 6:30.
Indeed, there wasn't, I must say. And because I started on the phone with the Department of Justice at about 7:30 this morning, and the conversations with the Department of Justice and Exxon, which ensued, lasted till about 9:15.
Would you like to make a motion, Representative?
Mr. Chairman, I'd move that the contents of the discussion paper that was presented to the Attorney General in yesterday's meeting of this committee be removed from the confidential listing.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The staff will...
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Barnes?
I object to it being distributed as a committee document, because this committee has taken no formal action on that document.
None whatsoever. The motion does not say as a committee document. It is simply to distribute to make a document public.
Okay, just as long as we clearly understand that that is not a document that this committee has acted on.
Representative Moore?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know technically whether it's proper or not proper, but it most definitely is a document that this committee has worked on and discussed in some depth at some length. So that also ought to be reflected on the public record.
Mr. Chairman, I have no disagreement with that. But you and I and all members of this committee recall we were in executive session. Within executive session, you cannot take any action whatsoever. You may have discussions on actions that will affect the finances of the state, someone's reputation, and one other thing which eludes me at the moment. All of those preclude any action in executive session. We have never discussed that particular document in a public session, so it cannot be an official document.
I think, folks, that the record speaks for itself. Hearing that as no objection, I will ask the staff to please make these documents available for the public press. Now, I have a few questions by Mr. Cole. When we happened to run into each other last night in the foyer downstairs, we discussed... I requested, as you indicated, that the document not be faxed last night. But we also discussed, did we not, sir, that at the time you telephoned this morning, you would fax them, and that was the understanding. Am I not correct?
That was our discussion.
Thank
and
you.
Like I say.
Secondly, when you came to the conclusion that you should not present this morning, did you give any thought or consider contacting the chairman or any members of this committee to announce that decision?
No, I thought I would at the very earliest opportunity to appear before this committee. I thought that was entirely appropriate. And my understanding, furthermore, let me say that this is the first occasion that the committee's met, which afforded me the opportunity to make the remarks before it, which I've just made.
And you did not consider, I take it, picking up the phone and just phoning the phone.
And doing what?
Phoning. Telephoning.
Phoning you?
Yeah.
My understanding, you were on the House floor.
But
let me respond. I thought that it was appropriate that I make my remarks before the full committee.
Mr. Chairman.
Just one other. This morning, when we talked in your office, do you recall my request at that time when you indicated that you had not transmitted this document to the parties, that you do it at that point or allow me to do so at that point? They are on a speakerphone. Do you recall my request to you at that point in time?
Well, it wasn't quite that way. It was, shall we call them on the telephone now? And I said I didn't want to be involved in that. I did never say, nor did I suggest expressly or inferentially, that you, as chairman of this committee, or the committee itself, was in any way precluded from sending that document to Exxon and to the United States. In fact, my recollection is that I expressed the view that you were at liberty to do that.
I do not recall that, sir. And I do not recall your being as specific with me at that time as you are now a few hours later. I have no further questions at this time. Members of the committee, Representative Navarre.
I just would like to place a motion that the next time the Attorney General wants to contact the committee at the earliest opportunity to contact the chairman and let him be responsible for getting the committee together. You know, as a courtesy, we didn't have, or the meeting of the Exxon, special Exxon oil spill committee, you know, we, I guess, allow the chairman or the chairman of the committee can speak to you about these types of things. Maybe we didn't know early enough this morning. You obviously were in your office fairly early. We could have got together this morning before the session.
Well, let me say,
and Mr. Attorney General, we made very clear to you yesterday and the day before that about the timeline that we're operating under in terms of procedural opportunities to address this as an action of the legislature. So now we're, even though it's only hours, perhaps, now we're even further down that timeline. And if we had known that it wasn't going to be transmitted, we could have had this discussion earlier in the day, because that would have been a courtesy, and I'd appreciate it.
Let me just say this. As soon as I arrived at the office after the lengthy conversations this morning, it wasn't long thereafter before I spoke with Mr. Gruenberg, the chairman. He asked if he could come to my office and discuss it. I said yes. And I would say that within not too long after I arrived at the office, he did meet. And I gave the chairman a full report, told him what I could conclude. So it isn't as though there was any significant time lapse between the conclusion of my conversations and my conversation with the chairman. I really say that.
The record should reflect that, unfortunately, that did not occur until after the House was in session, and I left the floor for that purpose. I also think the record should reflect that at that conversation, I expressed to you my grave disappointment that that was not presented.
That's absolutely true. And my response was, I understood that, accepted it, but I felt compelled to stand by my judgment, because I think it was correct.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Ulmer, then Representative Donnelly.
Mr. Attorney General, you and I have not in any way discussed the actions that you have taken. Now, have we discussed this subject previously? Or do I believe that you have been in any of the committee meetings where I have stated my reservations about this committee acting alone, or members of this committee acting alone? And my reservations were that I did not believe that we had the right act as a committee on behalf of the whole legislature or take any action that might scuttle the agreement that was reached in negotiations. That any action that we took, we should take an action reporting it back to the House, at which point the House would act on that. We have sent letters out. We've done several things. But I believe that truly falls within the purview of the House. And if I were you, and I am not, I would have taken exactly the same position that you did. And I must say that I'm glad that you had the guts to do it.
I have Representative Ulmer, then Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Attorney General, when we sat here at this table yesterday afternoon, I believe I made a comment to you along the lines that we wanted to make absolutely clear that the committee was not acting on behalf of the House or acting on behalf of the legislature, but simply acting in the sense that we had heard many concerns from individuals, groups, our colleagues, that we made an effort to kind of put all of those concerns into a package, so to speak, of things that we felt needed to be discussed among the parties as possible amendments to the agreement, and that when you conveyed those ideas, they were certainly not to be conveyed on behalf of the legislature, because we clearly don't have the authority to do that, but simply as discussion points that we felt the parties might want to consider if, in fact, it reached the point where it felt it was appropriate to renegotiate some of the conditions of the agreement. And I believe that those are pretty much the words that I expressed yesterday. And so I understand your feeling that you couldn't convey them in any sense more than what they were. But I guess I am disappointed that you didn't see the value in being able to perhaps advance the agreement and the ultimate approval of the agreement by the legislature by at least considering and discussing those items with the other parties. Now, you've indicated that you had the feeling that the very mention of these ideas might somehow have a negative impact on the agreement proceeding in its current form. But given the court's decision not to accept the criminal plea, it seems to me that we've already had a substantial modification of the original agreement, which is why I believe members of this committee, at least I can speak for myself, felt that an opportunity was presented, an opportunity in a positive sense, to perhaps fix some of the problems that we saw with the agreement and still be able to reach an agreement as opposed to it simply all blowing up in smoke. So, you know, I'm disappointed. I understand your point about it not being from the legislature, but I think it's also fair to say that an opportunity has been missed. And the missing of the opportunity, I think, does throw further doubt on the viability of the agreement as it stands today. So I guess my principal difference is with you and the assessment of whether the discussion of the points made it better or worse for the possibility of the agreement to go forward. My only other comment relates to the notion of behind closed doors. I'm quite sure that I have never criticized you for negotiating a settlement behind closed doors, because I understand why you have to do that. You can't negotiate in public. That isn't good. It's kind of an anathema to the system of negotiation, because you have to test ideas, and you go back and forth, and you take positions and all those things, you know. So the negotiating process, a fair amount of it has to take place just as you did it, and I don't think I ever criticized you for that, and if other people did, I'm sorry for that. I see the step that we tried to take yesterday just a furtherance of that negotiation process, and not as something that in any way strips the public from the opportunity to have accountability of its elected officials, but rather in advancing of the concerns that we have heard from the public, which is largely reflected on those two pieces of paper, with the original agreement. So it's not a question, it's just a statement, Mr. Chairman. I'm sorry, but I just felt compelled to say that based on what's already been said today. Thank you.
Yes, I have Representative Donnelly, then Representative Hudson, and Representative Davis.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a question either, Mr. Chairman, but I just wanted to express, and I share the chair's disappointment, because I was really looking forward to having some feedback or a little extra information here about how the parties, other parties involved, would have felt about that proposal before we did a final vote on it or took a final position. And so I would have really looked forward. I was really looking forward to having that information. And we're up against the wall now. We're going to have to make a decision. And I think that would have been very useful. I'm disappointed that we're not going to have.
Weston, Representative Davidson, and Representative Navarro.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Attorney General, you made a judgmental decision early in the morning to be behind us as far as that action is concerned. What I want to try to find out is if there's something constructive that can be made of this in another form. Would, in your judgment, these kind of topical items, these kind of enrichments, enhancements to what we think have been outrageous, the settlement proposal that you brought before this committee and the legislature in the beginning, do you think, sir, that you will have another opportunity to present some of these items before the other two principal parties at the negotiating table at this juncture? Or do you believe that if you were to transmit something of this nature, that it would have to bear the full measure of, say, the entire House of Representatives, or perhaps even the House and the Senate? I'd like to know, because this is a constructive document that is predicated upon hours of hearings we've had from federal, your own self, and many other people, and was submitted as a constructive paper, as a paper that laid out what we felt in a rate were some of the principal concerns that some folks had that might make a decision. I don't say it would, but might make a determination as to whether or not they would approve the settlement that was presented to us originally, and might make them more inclined to approve it were we able to achieve some of these enrichments. And so I just wanted you to let us know if you think that this document or something like this would be useful, perhaps even having it committed to your own knowledge, is still something that you would carry forward in future negotiations between the other two parties, sir.
Mr. Cole.
To answer that question in the affirmative would require me to confess error in my basic judgment. I think my judgment was sound, and I stand by it. But let me add another note. That document just won't sell. And I'm not even talking, in my view, about Exxon's reaction. I am talking about a position which would be taken by the Department of Justice or the federal trustees broadly in the United States. I would make available my office as chairman to transmit this document to both the federal trustees and Exxon, and to advance its content with them. In fact, committee's chairman hear firsthand what the reaction to it is. Would certainly be willing to do that. But to involve itself in that process, I think, would be, as I said, inappropriate. Frankly, I just don't think that in any way is a constructive document. My opinion on it, and I don't think it will enhance the settlement. That's my view. But this committee, the chairman, wishes to present those proposals.
I have Representative Davidson, Representative Navarro. I'd like to welcome, by the way, Representative Covina to the committee. We have a full committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you again, Mr. Attorney General, for the energy and the dedication you put into your effort here. And our effort, I'm assuming the non-constructive document to which you have just referred is the proposal, or those points that bother many of our constituents. So certainly I understand why person of your background and training would not want to be advised by the non-legally trained mind, but...
Well, I think that's not quite on the mark, but I will not comment further on it.
Okay, well, see if I can get it back on the mark again.
What I did, in no way disrespectful of you or this committee, was simply an exercise of your judgment committed to me. I have no special agenda. I haven't, didn't call the governor at 3 o'clock. I just decided there's something I ought not do, you know, and that's what I did. And I think it was right.
Well,
maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think it was.
I have confidence in your judgment. I'm disappointed, of course, that you found the points not worthwhile enough to bring to these other parties.
That's not what I said. Please, don't make
me
interrupt you. But I didn't
again.
Say they're worthwhile. I said I thought it was inappropriate under the circumstances for me to transmit them. Not worthwhile.
Mr. Attorney General, I'd appreciate it if you represented the commission. And then you'll have your chance to respond. Representative Davidson.
I guess it'd be interesting to know who tells the other parties, negotiators, what they should be considering. I thought that we simply were given the task of trying to find out what Alaskans felt about this, and we did go out to our different constituencies. You have a boss, and we have a board of directors called the Plurality of Voters, and I think you see what my people in my district felt, and I have to listen to those people, because I think that they did, in fact, carefully analyze. Maybe they didn't understand it as well as the people who were at the table, and I certainly do not think that I understood it that well as well, but still, they had these concerns. And I think that this committee worked hard to simply reduce down as close as we could some, you know, some points of concern that we felt were worthwhile raising. In your judgment, you found that they, well, I guess I can't really say what felt about your judgment, but at any rate, you didn't bring them before these people, and I am disappointed in that. But nonetheless, I do think that we've got to go forward, and I think, Mr. Chairman, that we've got to have something that shows we're either going to go forward with the settlement. What happens to the people who say, yes, we must go forward with the settlement, there may be nothing else, and yet we've already seen where there were two unexpected turns of events here, with people who some, I think, have characterized as meddling, others who feel that they just plain made mistakes. So we're still, I think, in a quandary here as to which way we as a committee should recommend for our colleagues, the full House, to vote or to turn this settlement thumbs up or thumbs down. And I've just stopped rambling here, but again, I do appreciate your efforts.
Thank you.
Did you wish to respond at this point? Otherwise, I'll...
Well,
you
respond.
I mean, I didn't want to interrupt you. I wanted to give you an opportunity.
Well, I want to say that I think we should remain reasonably sanguine about the situation which we face today. That there's... a lot at stake for your constituents, people of the state of Alaska. We're talking about $1 billion, and I think it would be $1 million in other important considerations. And I think that we should continue to strive. The settlement. I think that if this legislative committee wishes to present these proposals to the other parties, I will provide a mechanism for that. I don't think it's too late to send them.
say honestly that I disagree with your decision not to send it. I trust your judgment. I just wish you would have been a little more well-rested.
I wish I could have been. It troubled me for a long time, let me.
But I'm wondering if your reaction at 3 o'clock in the morning is really any different than your reaction when you first looked at the document yesterday. Because I think, you didn't make any comments, and I think that, I think, and this is intuitively, that you weren't particularly enamored with the document yesterday or with the contents of it and probably recognized some problems, and you didn't express those to the committee, and I wish that that had happened because I think that would have been productive. I appreciate that we could wait until tomorrow afternoon to have let us know that we have an extension, but I fully expect that we need to act on resolution if we're going to have time to get it to the Senate for them to act also. With whether or not this is a committee document that you're sending out, if you really felt that it was going to scuttle the agreement, that really is a decision for the body and not for this committee. But I think maybe we could have known that yesterday in talking with you, and we could have got a sense of what better to do or how better to address it.
No, I think your views are accurate. Maybe it would have been better to do it in that fashion. No question. I was disappointed when I see the range proposed modifications of the agreement. This is not simply a matter of changing a provision or two, but it goes right to the very core of the document, with the settlement agreement. In many ways, it's a wholesale revision. As they say, you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. Just about ready to fold them, gentlemen.
Ladies, too.
Oh, ladies. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Let me just ask you one question. You stated a few minutes ago, Mr. Attorney General, that you felt that this was not in any way a constructive document and that this would not enhance the settlement. Representative Navarre, I think, asked a question or two along these lines, and I'd like to be very, very upfront and ask you one question, sir. Was that assessment on your part of the reason you didn't present it?
Well, it fits into my conclusion that its very communication was apt to cause one or both parties to withdraw from the settlement, to terminate the settlement agreement.
Thank you. Representative Hudson, then I have nobody else. Representative Covina, what I'd like to do is finish the questioning of the Attorney General, and then we can proceed to committee business, because we need to make some decisions. People need to go to other committees, so I'd like to move this along. Representative Hudson, Representative Covina, anybody else?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Charlie, I think the record's quite clear that none of us on this committee ever wanted to do anything that would scuttle the agreement. I think we were always looking for something that would perhaps provide you with even more of a potential consensus mechanism, and that's what we thought that we were doing here. Your decision, obviously, and your judgment, obviously, in explanation, I find some merit to some of your concerns there. What I'm asking now is that are we still faced with approving, in your opinion, this document? What if we don't get the extension? Is this document, the document proposal, without change, still the only action that the legislature is confronted with? Or if you do get the extension, obviously there'll be a new confrontation between the three members, a new negotiation, and in all probability, if may or may not bring out a new type of proposal, or conceivably the whole thing falls apart. Can you give me some ideas as to, number one, if we don't get the extension, is the only action the legislature confronted with is either approving or disapproving the current proposal in its present form?
I'd say, now that I think I understand the question, the answer to it is yes. But I think by this time tomorrow we will have a clear understanding of whether an extension will be granted, number one. Because I don't have the sense that Exxon is looking for a way out. And I think that we should continue a judicious approach. And if the committee, like I say, feels that this would enhance the resolution, I would participate in making arrangements for it to transmit. I really don't think that this 6-hour delay should be cause for grand brouhaha. I think we should simply keep our eye on the ball. I must say I'm particularly concerned about not last night's speech, but upon reading this more carefully, but the involvement, the suggestion, the amount of the fine. You'll recall the state has long stayed out of that criminal proceeding. But I don't fault the legislature for its work, or this committee for its work. I don't fault the committee for what it regards as constructive proposals. And I recognize that's fully within the prerogative of the committee. It's just that it was my view that the Attorney General should not be involved in transmitting the proposals of this singular committee of the legislature to those two parties. I mean, that's really the root of it. And that was my judgment. I mean, I also have to be respectful of the Senate. And it has an interest in this process, too. And I have the belief that it would be apt to say, I mean, what's the Attorney General doing carrying on this negotiating process? We're not involved on it. And the next thing I'd be over there before Senator Elison, and they would be saying to me, hey, what are you doing? We don't agree with any of this. And so that's what underlay my reasoning process.
And I might add, Mr. Chairman,
sure,
that with that explanation, I certainly can see your concerns that it's a little more clear to me than I first heard that you'd chosen to transmit them. We are all attempting to find, as I say, a constructive way in which to make recommendations to the only body that we work for, which is the House. And time is rapidly running out. Everything is rather dynamic.
May I comment just briefly? Remember our executive session yesterday, in which I commented on the course of events. I think that that is something not to be overlooked by this committee. If you recall,
I have Representative Cabina, then Representative Olver.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I apologize for being late. Attorney General, you've mentioned since I've been here only one part of this paper that we put out that you felt we should not be involved in. The state has not. That's the criminal fine. Are there other specifics in here that you feel are out of line?
I really didn't say. guess I thought, you know, as you recall, I've always felt we were fortunate not to get into that issue, but...
Are there other specific things that you feel are out of line, inappropriate, too demanding, you name it?
Well, I can say that nearly every one of these points which is mentioned here were the subject of very hard bargaining. I mean, it isn't as though this is the first time these issues have been presented to Exxon. The amount is there, the payment terms were there, the opener you wish to delete, the tax matter, I assured myself that there was no adverse income tax consequences to the state. Agrees not to take a state tax deduction. We didn't present that to him. Agreed. That's something to be presented. I have difficulty with the payment mechanisms and with the process and the following the Administrative Procedures Act, because I just think that the federal government simply wouldn't agree to this. Now, out of line, certainly matters which could properly and legitimately be presented to them and receive the response. I don't think that there's anything out of line, or it might still be inappropriate in mentioning to them, But I just think it's hard sell.
Mr. Chairman, is it your intention then for us to have a resolution of some type out of this committee today?
Yes, I. Once we finish with the Attorney General, what we'll do is proceed to committee business. I have a number of different forms of proposed resolutions. I'll distribute them, and the committee can decide to do whatever it feels is in the committee's best interest. Further questions, Representative Kabina?
No, thank you.
I have Representative Ulmer.
Just a very brief question. What do you mean when you say that we should wait till tomorrow afternoon? As you probably know, the House and the Senate don't move real quickly, and we're up against this Friday deadline, and I mean it's sort of logistically impossible for the House not to take some sort of action tomorrow morning so that it can be moved over to the Senate to take some sort of action if we're going to stick with the May 3rd deadline. So, I mean, it's a little different than the executive branch. So what you need to be a little more clear with us, if you can be, about what you mean when you say wait till tomorrow afternoon.
Well, perhaps this is an oversight on my part, but the Exxon representative and the federal representatives and I agreed to have another conference call around 12 o'clock tomorrow noon, which we will readdress these issues, A, the extension of time, et cetera. And let me say, of course, and so am I. I mean, you know, I recognize that. I realize that it's subject to these time constraints. But, sense. I think it'll work. And what's the alternative? Not a very appealing, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. With that, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
We have staff in the room to distribute these and explain what the
Thank you.
what we have done here, folks, we have prepared a number of different alternatives so that the committee can pick and choose whichever one it wishes. But they're all drafted so that we can have whatever we do right across this afternoon.
I'm going to have to get up to finance. I'm sure that's where Mike is. We've got what we think is a pretty important bill, 196, before finance, and it's coming up right directly. I've got my man going to pull me out if I just want you to know that.
Okay.
I need to go there, too.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
We need to read something.
I know we need to. I'll tell you, this is my feeling. I would like to see the committee send out two resolutions to the floor. I would like to see one resolution that is a simple approval resolution, and one resolution that lays out the conditions that the committee has discussed and asked be considered as amendments to the agreement. And I see that you do have one of those here.
I think
and
we have
I see
one of
that
each.
You have the other one also. And I would, it would be my suggestion for the committee to talk about that we send out both. And the reason I say that is because, first of all, I would like there to be an official document available for the public to see the considerations that this committee felt were appropriate discussion items for agreement amendment. I think it is a culmination of the work product, and it reflects a lot of what we have heard through the hours and hours and hours and hours of testimony. So the resolution which lays those things out, items 1 through 10, I would like to see somewhere in a public document, and I would like to see it in, as a resolution. I would also like to see the simple version of the resolution, because I think members need to think about now what the Attorney General has said, you know, you need to say yes or no. So there are two different reasons why I'd like to see both of them be released from this committee, and I would like them both to go to the floor, and I'd like to hear the debate that takes place on the floor of the House as to not only the conditions that are in 1 through 10, but also whether or not we feel we ought to go with the version of just yay or nay, or we ought to make our suggestions. I think that debate needs to take place in public on the floor of the House with both Republicans and Democrats, and I don't see any way of getting that kind of debate but for both vehicles going to the floor.
Well, just so the members know, we have, let's walk, Andy, okay. Let's walk everybody through this. The bill, how are these labeled? Okay, the one that is labeled, it's a one-page, 13-line resolution, 7LS1323 approves the settlement. The equally short one, that's 1324, disapproves the settlement. The resolutions, okay, 1314 simply asks an extension of time, and until May 13, and that unless that extension is granted, the legislature disapproves the settlement. That's 1314. Two resolutions that were drafted. Are these? What's the difference between these?
Just
these
one
risks?
Is just more specifically spells out the way that document was presented, and the other one just kind of addresses the concerns.
Okay, one of these, the one with the large paragraph two that Andy has typed, is more detailed than the one with the smaller paragraph. So we have a total of five different proposals in front of you. Representative Ulmer, did you have the floor?
I would like to move, Mr. Chairman, that the committee send to the floor House Draft 1323, approving the Exxon settlement, and draft, it doesn't have a number, but the longer of the two versions that have the conditions 1 through 10.
All right. So we have the motion is to send two different bills to the floor.
Okay.
The one approving the settlement, that's 1323, and we'll call it the one that's not on official letterhead with a long paragraph 2. So let us, for the purposes of discussion, we'll call the approval one A. If people would put A up in the upper right-hand corner, and the second one as B. And there is an objection.
Which one is A? Is it the one
A,
8 on the bottom or 7 on the bottom?
No, this is what A is.
Approval one.
The approval.
This is A.
Yeah. And then this one with the long paragraph B, a 2 that says to provide for a criminal fine of at least $500 million, et cetera. That is the one that was going to be. So we have A and B, and it is one motion consisting of A and B. And I would suggest that we divide the question because they're two different resolutions. Representative Ulmer, would you be willing to have that question divided?
Oh, if the chairman wants me to, I'll say yes.
I appreciate that. Okay.
Nice,
I appreciate that. And there was Representative Hudson and Representative Phillips.
Because now we're getting right down to the gristle of the issue here, I'm trying to figure out. So we would be presenting to the body essentially a simple settlement acceptance,
mm-hmm.
or a rejection unless certain conditions are met.
That is the motion. The motion is to present both of them to the body. And we are dividing the question, but the intent was to present both of them. But since it's been divided, we'll vote on each one of these separately.
Therein lies my problem. I'm trying to figure out, we've got a deadline, and we've been at least somewhat assured by the Attorney General that there's going to be an extension, and I think there'll probably be some changes. On one hand, I sort of hate to approve of something that might be enriched. Of course, I guess we would automatically approve of that one too if it were better. See, this thing is like fumbling, you know.
I want to keep us in order. I have Representative Hudson, Representative Phillips.
Well, I just want to let you know that I've got some real fuzziness going on in my mind here as to what we're doing here, what the effect of it will be. I do not want to do anything that would precipitate the loss of what we have at the present time, absent some considerable debate and opportunity on the floor. On the other hand, I really would hate to put our bottom line out there and say, all right, the legislature approves the old settlement when I think that maybe the Attorney General may have an opportunity to come in and enrich it for the state of Alaska, and this may tend to give Exxon some hope that, well, they're willing to accept the lower figure, so why should I go any higher? Do you hear what I'm saying?
I have Representative Phillips. I have Representative Ulmer.
Point of order.
Representative Kavita, do you have your hand up?
I'd like to withdraw my objection to the motion.
Okay. I have Representative Barnes. You have your hand up.
Yes, I did.
Anybody else? Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I speak in favor of the motion to present both of these. I think it's necessary that we read something across the floor today. That way we'll have served notice, we will have something on the floor. We don't have to take action on them if a telephone call tomorrow afternoon tells us we have a time extension. But at least we have them there, and they will be available on the agenda if necessary.
Representative Ulmer, then Representative Barnes.
I was going to say basically what Representative
Barnes just said. I withdraw my objection. So there's a motion on the table. Is there objection to the motion?
Well, wait a minute. People have asked to be heard. Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two basic things. First of all, it's my belief that you can't put a negative on the floor. So if you need to put the one on the floor approving, and if people voted it down, it would become automatically disapproved. That's my understanding of how you operate. Secondly, as you all know, there are provisions of this that I support, and there are provisions that I do not. And as long as those provisions are in there that I can't support, then I have to vote no on B, but I will support taking A to the floor.
Is there further discussion? Representative Ullman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just request that Representative Barnes not object to sending B to the floor with the understanding that, like any other entity, once it's there, you know, you can amend it.
Okay, fine.
So, you know, you can always move to
That's fine.
Change it.
Is it a legal resolution? Representative Barnes says you can't put something on the floor in the negative, and this is in the negative.
This one is all.
No. This one here says that we reject it. So that's a positive, isn't it? That's a positive thing to do.
Yes. I understand that. I have, just for the body's information, I have never seen anything that would say that the disapproval resolution was illegal. And I just would note that Tam Cook drafted it and did not give us a legal opinion saying that it would be illegal to put it on the floor. I have never seen anything to back up what Representative Barnes said. Representative Phillips.
Just on a point of clarification on that issue, at our Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, that was a policy by that body, that no resolution or bill would go out in the negative. So I don't know whether it is the House or not.
I have never heard of it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, that's why we always make motions in the positive to make recommendations to vote no. For example, when we're bringing a conference to me or something that's on the memo file forward, we make a recommendation in the positive and then recommend it to the body that they vote no. We never do it in the negative.
I understand what you're saying, but that's not exactly the same thing. What we have, Representative Navarre, is a motion to put before the body both version A. We should have one with an A and one with a B in the upper right-hand corner. I'm going to speak on this. I am somewhat concerned by putting both resolutions before the body, unless they carry with them some recommendation of this committee. It will look to the entire body that this committee has not made a recommendation on the subject after all this time. And I very much would like to see this committee make a recommendation. If you're going to put both of these before the full House, I think at the very least it should be with a specific report of the committee that urges that one is recommended over the other and that one be proposed before the other. Otherwise, we are just throwing this out with no recommendation, no report from this committee at all. Representative Donovan.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my intent was that when we took the vote on, after we took the on the motion to move these resolutions, that I would make a motion that the committee recommend a course of action regarding the two resolutions.
Do you wish to, I would suggest, if that is your intent, that you make that motion as part of the Ulmer motion, or as an amendment to it,
well, then
in some manner.
Let me clarify, Representative Ulmer's motion. Do we have a dual motion to move both these?
My original motion was to put both of these on the floor, and then the chairman asked me to divide the question.
I probably shouldn't have done that.
He has removed his request to me.
I've removed my request.
What we have in front of us is a simple motion that I put that both of these be put on the floor.
Well, then, Mr. Chairman, I move to amend the motion that we move both these things to the floor of the House, and as to Resolution A, we recommend a no vote, and as to recommend Resolution B, we recommend a yes vote.
I'm going to have the body speak to that. Under the circumstances, I cannot support version A. I cannot support it on the merits, and I cannot support it in view of the testimony we've heard this afternoon. I feel that, just personally, under the circumstances, I cannot, for the reasons that are contained in the document that has now been made public, I cannot recommend to the people of this state that we approve the settlement of this as written, which is version A. And that is my own view, and I feel strongly about that. I am not satisfied with the agreement that has been presented. I think that I have gone on record, and I will say once again personally, that I would like to see a settlement. But I think that it has to be upon terms that are more advantageous to the state, that are fairer to the state and the people of the state and the United States than are in the present proposal. So I cannot vote for, and that was frankly part of the reason that I was asking to have the question divided, because I cannot vote for version A.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What the committee report will reflect, because I think we ought to just take A and send it out of committee with individual recommendations, was the committee report will reflect how many people voted yes, how many people say do pass, how many people say do not pass, and how many of them say no rec. And the way that the report will be read is if the majority of this committee says do not pass, then the recommendation of this committee will be do not pass. The majority of the committee signs the committee report do pass, then the committee report will reflect a do pass recommendation by this committee. If majority of the committee does neither one and there are enough no recs, the reflection will be no recommendation, and we'll get to debate and discuss and talk about the different options on the floor, which is what we ought to do, I think. And that, I think, is what my recommendation is to do, is let's pass the resolution out and sign the committee report. I don't think we have to send both of these to the both versions to the floor. I think we can talk about it. Any resolution we send to the floor is available for amendment upon discussion.
I have Representative Ulmer.
I agree with Representative Navarre with regard to the committee reports. I think that's a way people indicate how they feel about bills and resolutions in every committee. But I feel very strongly that both resolutions should go to the floor. And I went through this before you came back in the room, and I apologize to the rest, but I feel strongly that it is a document which reflects a lot of time and energy and work on behalf of this committee, on behalf of the public. We have heard so much testimony, which we have tried to, in a sense, compress into these 10 points. And I think for purposes of not only reflecting back to the public that we listened and we responded, but also for purposes of people being able to pick up a document and go on from here, if that happens, if for some reason it does appear that additional settlement discussions are appropriate, there is a document then that the legislature has had the opportunity to debate and hopefully to approve. The Attorney General has said today, what's the value of a few members sitting around a table? Well, the value is transmitting it via resolution to the full body and letting the full body say yay, nay, or amend it. So I think it's really important that both versions go to the floor.
Do you want me to withdraw my motion, Mr. Chairman? I have an amendment to the motion that would have the committee make recommendations on these and let it be individual recommendations.
I think that your motion is properly before us. Representative Navarre, just a procedural point. There are three other resolutions that have not been numbered. The short one by Cook that was not numbered is one disapproving the settlement. The longer one by Cook with the amendments on front of it is that it would be disapproved unless we get an extension of time. And the other one that Andy drafted, that is not an official stationery, is less detailed than version B. So we have several others. I'm just bringing up the further discussion. We have Representative Donnelly's motion before us. It's strictly up to the representative. I just didn't want to express an opinion myself.
Okay, I'll go ahead and withdraw my amendment.
Okay, the Donnelly amendment is withdrawn. Representative Navarre.
I'm still not sure how to get there. If we're going to put both of them on the floor, or are we just sending them both to the rules? If they're both going to go on the floor, you know, they're both going to
No. What they're going to be done is these are for introduction. And I think that we need to make a recommendation to the body as to which version we wish to see on the floor first, on the calendar, which is our first proposal. And I would like to see a recommendation from this committee on that point.
Mr. Chairman, could we vote on that motion then? The motion is to send A and B to the floor, period. Could we vote on that motion, and then I would make another motion afterwards?
We certainly can. The motion is to send A and B to the floor. That is, I think there's no more to the motion than that. Right?
That's it.
Okay.
You see, that's where it's difficult. See, it's not like we're adopting a bill from committee. We're voting on whether to send it to the floor. Now, we've got to, how do we make recommendations?
You have a sign and a sheet.
We're doing both. Okay.
We're going to have a committee report that will be prepared. People will sign.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to do it that way.
Okay. Once again, the motion is to send A and B to the floor. Is there objection? Is there objection? Hearing no objection, A and B will be sent to the floor. Further motions?
Chairman, I move that the committee endorse Resolution B.
There is a motion to
endorse
Resolution B.
I've got to have my objection on the record. Because, Mr. Chairman, if I may speak.
Representative Barnes.
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, as you are well aware, there are provisions in that particular one that I can't support. And if it goes to the floor without me stating in this committee my objections, as I have, to portions of it, then what happens when it comes to the floor, people will say, well, you had your chance in the committee. I'm saying here and now that I have objections to supporting all provisions in that resolution so that everyone will know, and when it comes to the floor, that I will have amendments in my hands.
Representative Camino.
Does the representative have amendments that she wants to make to it right now?
Well, yes.
The floor is open for, I presume that it is within the context of the Cabina motion that we could accept amendments. Consider amendments to the resolution. That would be, unless there's objection, I would find that would be in order at this point in time.
Am I going a direction that you don't want to go, Mr.
No.
Chairman? I agreed with you.
No.
That I think we should.
No, you're going in the direction. You're going fine.
Mr. Chairman, I would just note that I'm sure that there will be four amendments. And that's a healthy thing. I think that the full body ought to hear the debate on the things in here that people have problems with or that people feel good about. You know, so
that's fine. I'll save my amendment to the floor because I've got
to vote finally. I've just been informed by staff that version B does not contain a provision that deletes the reopener. I think we need, is there anything else that is different from this on the proposal? Okay, I would like to entertain a motion that would add a provision that says the reopener shall be deleted.
Right.
Donnelly moves, is there objection? Any other changes? Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
So we are adding in the appropriate place that the reopener is deleted.
My only...
Just 1 minute. Question. Representative Barnes, are you planning in this committee at this point in time to move any amendments?
In the committee, I will move them on the floor and I will sign the committee report as such.
Understood.
My only goal was that if it was possible to work out something so that the committee could come out closer to unanimous or unanimous, that it would be a good time to do it.
I understand.
Well, you know that I have the one problem with the legislature appropriating the money twice.
And I'd be more than willing to delete that one right now.
Good.
If you would vote
Mr.
for the
Chairman,
motion after that.
I would just note that if you pick up Ramona, you lose Fran. So, I mean, this is like one of those where we're just going to have to.
Wait, now.
You're going to have to get a debate on the floor anyway.
The motion is to approve B as amended by the deletion of the reopener. And Representative Barnes.
I don't know.
Representative Barnes has objected. Okay, that requires a roll call vote. And,
I'm withdrawing my objection and I'm taking my objections to the
floor. Is there objection? Wait, because we're going to take another motion possibly to it. Is there objection? Hearing none, we approve B. Now, is there going to be a motion as to what our position is with respect to A?
That will be reflected in our signature on the committee report.
Yeah.
All right, so there is no, is there any further business? If not, what we will do is prepare these, and we will bring to each of you a copy of the committee report in writing. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes.
A motion to adjourn.
Andy, the way this thing should read, the committee recommends that this be put on the floor, and the individuals recommend not pass, no rec, pass.
Right.
And that we specifically...
Right. And the